Hey everyone, this is Connor. Before we get started, I just want to encourage you to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/podsidepicnic. If you become a patron, you'll get access to multiple exclusive episodes every month. And you can also join our patrons-only Discord chat, where Pete and I talk informally with the Podside Picnic community. So if you like the show, go ahead and check us out at patreon.com/podsidepicnic. Thanks.
Welcome back to Podside, everyone. This is, of course, Carlo, and today it's me and Chris. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Carlo. This weekend, do you want to go to my uncle's cabin?
You know, I'm going to have to pass. Can I take a rain check?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going, and I'm going to bring a giant shotgun, that's all.
No, you actually don't have the shotgun. You find and like a Civil War era shotgun in the basement. I'm slightly exaggerating, but Chris, so funny story. We're going to be discussing the movie Exists, 2014, actually directed by one of the people involved with the smash hit Blair Witch Project, which is Edgardo Rodriguez?
Eduardo Sanchez. There we go. Quaros? He was one of the co-directors of the Blair Witch Project.
The Blair Witch Project. Yes. And here it's basically, it was funny because what an ironic name, because I did not know that this movie exists or existed until like maybe 2 weeks ago. And I was like, hey, let's do that. Yeah, let's.
Well, yeah, I think everybody kind of found out about it around the same time when somebody on Twitter, and I forget who it was, posted like, hey, did you know that the director of the Blair Witch did another found footage movie recently about a Bigfoot? And everybody was like, oh, holy shit. And so that's when we were like, we should watch that and talk about that.
Yes, indeed. And so, you know, it more or less exactly what is on the tin, you know, it's a found footage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's sort of returning to what he knows best. Yeah. Or what was most successful after like spawning weirdly, was there, because it feels like the, like all those Paranormal Activity movies feel like they're like 10 years or more after Blair Witch, right?
They were. Yeah. Blair Witch, it was not like the first found footage movie, but it was definitely the first one that really kicked off our modern like cycle of it.
And yes,
it, apparently we're not out of it. So
no. But I mean, I think that the thing that really made Blair Witch a success was in fact that lead up. Mm-hmm. Because it relied so much on the internet. Mm-hmm. To sort of leak like these little weird like blogs that sounded like they were epistolary or some sort of weird notes. Mm-hmm. Just it ramped up the mystery, right, surrounding it. It sort of built up like this whole ambiance before you even got to sit in the theater. And it is funny how that isn't anywhere. Like none of the other sort of found footage, like the Paranormal Activity and I don't know, mm-hmm. whatever else is out there. They don't feel like they do that same thing.
Yeah, I feel like that's a kind of that's a trick that kind of maybe only works once. Yeah. And they did it, you know, exceptionally well with Blair Witch, because, you know, filled with people you've never heard of before and we honestly have not heard from again. And they even went so far as to do a, like, there was like a TV special on the Sci-Fi Channel. If you're, mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
I think that they went to Burkittsville to interview people or whatever.
Yeah. And it was played totally straight. Like this, mm-hmm. was, you know, this was the investigation into this footage that was found. And, I remember watching, I saw Blair Witch in theaters and I remember like still not being entirely sure whether or not it was real or not. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, it's been a very long time since I've watched the entire thing, but a lot of that, a lot of that movie has stayed with me, and it's still mm-hmm. the final scene of the Blair Witch still spooks me out to this day.
Oh man, so I'll be honest with you that there's lots of parts where, you know, leading up to those last five or so minutes in the movie that really turned that movie around. If you had any doubts in your mind, which it was sort of annoying and sort of funny, and there's sort of like weird things happening, but it's all throughout the movie. And granted, now we're doing like a capsule review or not so capsule review of mm-hmm. Blair Witch here.
I think it's important to put this movie into the context.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, by the time that last 5 minutes of the movie happen, you're so ramped up and just sitting on the edge of your seat. Cause it's not a tension necessarily of the movie necessarily at this point. It becomes a tension also of, okay, what's going to happen? What are they going to find? Are they going to find anything? Mm-hmm. And honestly, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being said, so this is the funny thing. This movie seems to have just been sort of like shat out into the universe with no, like, I never heard of this movie.
Right. And I think that's why that tweet kind of blew up in some of the circles that I run in, because it's like, the Blair Witch was such a seminal film, for, our generation, and modern, modern film and modern horror that, the same director kind of returning to found footage, with another creature feature, but this time it being a Bigfoot, seems like not necessarily can't miss, but like something you should definitely check out. So I'm glad we did.
Mm-hmm. So, and so obviously this is a first watch for the both of us. Let me ask you, Chris, because I have some notes here, but I want to hear what you say. What did you feel going into this?
Going into it, I was excited because I was hoping that he could maybe, catch the spark again and just even if he could get a little bit of that eeriness back, I would have been really worth it. Mm-hmm. But I think there was some. I think the switch to there's I don't know. It this was not terrible. Like it was very mm-hmm. Very. There was definitely some really interesting and spooky scenes. Nothing to the level of the Blair Witch, but it wasn't great either. Let's mm-hmm. just say. mm-hmm.
I agree. I mean, I think that I want to say that within the first 10 minutes are sort of like, well, whatever, it's sort of setting up like the cabin in the woods situation, right? Mm-hmm. The isolation of the five people that are going there. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that there's like that scene where they're fucking around and they're trying to burn dude's beard and they run into something, but they don't see anything. So they're like, doop, doo, 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 and they just keep on going. Like they get out and try to check and make sure, but there's nothing to be seen. So they're like, well, it's fucking dark.
Yeah.
we're like in Texas woods somewhere out. I'm going to say it's near, was it Galveston or like on the Gulf, near the Gulf Coast, I should say, right? Where it's a little bit more
wet. I'm not sure. I just knew it was Texas, like backwoods Texas.
Yeah. But I mean, it's woods, not like,
yes,
not like the desert, which
right,
is
exactly.
So that was one of the things that was sort of interesting to me, because whenever I hear Sasquatch, I always think like Pacific Northwest,
Yeah.
Like that, big woods.
Exactly. Yeah, I did think that was an interesting setting because it does seem to take him Bigfoot out of his typical context. But I guess I just didn't realize that there was those kind of woods in Texas. I don't know really what I thought, but because it looks like real heavily forested woods that you would see almost in Appalachians or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty. I mean, I wouldn't say as. I think it's a lot of young growth, but yeah, it's very. It is very like green, surprisingly so. And so, like the whole setup, I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, it feels very by the numbers, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. It's the kind of like typical opening that Cabin in the Woods was making fun of, where it's like, you know, four young adults traveling to some relative's cabin, and you know they're doing some hijinks on the way, and then they like something spooky happens on the way there, which is in this case, like you said, they hit something on their way. And they kind of stop to see what it was, but nothing, they can't find anything. But then they go back, and meanwhile, because this is found footage, the one main character, I think was it Brian or Matt?
Brian is the bearded guy, the camera guy.
So yeah, Brian has like GoPros everywhere, and he has like a camera that he's using on himself and like that's kind of stuff. So, he kind of runs back some of the footage, and he sees the, you know, there's a little glimpse of something brown and hairy running out of the corner of his, out of like the screen, right before the car hit something. And they're kind of like, well, what was that? And then they kind of just go off from there. But I hesitate to use this word, but it's a very tropey way to open a horror movie. Like, you know, kids going in the woods to a cabin.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah, it's exactly that. I mean, it's not bad. It's to be expected. You know, this is also, like you say, it's sort of like to be expected in this type of movie.
Right. Yeah. And so there's four of them. There's, you know, like, as you said, Brian's the camera guy with the beard. There's Matt, who has his girlfriend, Dora. And there's Todd and Elizabeth, who are also a couple. And there's kind of not. I think this was my major issue with the film was these characters are kind of like nothing. Like, they're not even like stereotypes. Like, they're, you know, of like, oh, the jock and this guy's the nerdy. Like, they're really just kind of just.
So I think my sort of funny slash perhaps scathing assessment, the minute I started like seeing all the GoPros and stuff like that was, oh, this is Blair Witch, but for like the extreme sports guys. and once, see, that's the thing. Once I sort of slotted that into my head that way, I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't think, to your point, I don't think that the characters they're barely sketched out. I think the most time we spend is with Brian, and he's sort of like a weirdo creep whose kink is just cameras.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, part of the, like, so when they get to the cabin, you say that that Brian was like looking at the camera footage, but I also think that he's the one that like plucks the, from the edge of the bumper of the Jeep, that big bristly ball of hair that's sort of like got some blood on it, it looks like, and it's left without remarking. And I think that for purposes of the tension, this movie does a pretty good job of trying to hold back.
Yeah, I agree. The build up to, you know, the reveal of Bigfoot and that kind of stuff is judicious and very, it is pretty well done.
Yeah. And I think that as the film progresses, however, the more, you know, it's the usual, you know, creature feature thing, right? Once you see the monster, you know, it sort of lessens the effect every extra time you see it, you know?
Right. And I think going back to my point about like the characters, I think that's what kind of makes this a little bit like a little lifeless, because so the three people in the Blair Witch, you know, they were mostly annoying, but they were all kind of annoying in their unique ways, and they were like interestingly annoying.
And also that it, the way that they were annoying and annoying to each other, sort of hinted at like depths to a relationship that has been ongoing for years, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. And here they're kind of just general, you know, very chummy. You know, Brian does create some tension because he starts surreptitiously. Filming the friend Todd and Elizabeth kind of starting to get a little hot and heavy. They catch him and he's like, you know, branded a pervert and stuff like that, which, you know, rightfully so. But like, that's kind of it. Like, he doesn't go that, like, that was, it's just that one scene and they kind of don't do anything further with that. Like, mm-hmm. that could have been some interesting tension to, like, you know, go along with, where, like, you know, they don't trust Brian anymore or something like that, but it's kind of just dropped. And I don't know. So it's like, instead of like giving, you know, and then this is, I don't know, this sounds very cliche, but instead of, like, you know, having people to, and not necessarily even people you want to root for or people like you care about, like, I don't care about that kind of stuff, but I just like to see interesting characters happening in interesting situations. You know, it's missing one part of that here.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. I think that so one of the things that I did like that scene. I wish that that had been a bit more, like you said, like a bit more sort of like complicated. It's sort of like treated like, oh, you know, bro, what are you doing? You know, and gets up in his face and whatnot. And, you know, like Todd gets up in his face, which, you know, he should really.
Mm-hmm,
But also, like, you know, it's funny because in a meta way you realize, well, you know, if Brian hadn't done this skeezy thing, he wouldn't have really given the extra inciting incident that was needed mm-hmm. for this movie to continue, right? The plot to to happen behind the scene, like behind the scene, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if they had made Brian like distrusted, or they didn't want to hang out with him, or I don't know, whatever, you know, something like you said, it would have probably added more tension.
Mm-hmm.
I also get the feeling. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I also get the feeling this feels like a movie that got a lot of weird notes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I suspect. But I mean, I can't imagine the budget was very high on it, you know.
I think, I don't know how much I was poking around, you know, not too deeply or anything like that, but trying to find just basic budget numbers, but nothing, man. It shows looks, like box office was like laughable, like 41,000 domestic. I think the DVD and streaming rentals or whatever you want to call it exactly were much more lucrative. I think the number I was seeing most recent one was like $617,000 off of it, which, you know, if this was like made for $30,000 or whatever, it's probably more than that. But, you know, that's not too bad.
No. It's one of those small movies that, you know, is, you know, probably not. Yeah, it's not looking to make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's just something to get out there. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of what sort of like the Blumhouse model is trying to perfect again. Right. Like they're trying to replicate like the Corman type of thing. Right.
Yeah, although I would say I think Blumhouse does have their budgets probably a little bit higher.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like, because that, like, for example, in Invisible Man, they were able to get like Elizabeth Moss, who, you know, she's not a huge star, she was in like Mad Men, like, so she probably
does get
a decent amount of money.
I believe she's still involved with what do you call it, The Handmaid's Tale, so that's also a big draw.
Oh, is that still going on?
I think they just finished like last year or something. I want to say.
Yeah. So she's a relatively, she's well, most people well known know enough, her. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's, and so this was another thing that I think, lessened this movie compared. And I hate to keep comparing it to The Blair Witch because it's probably not fair.
Well, don't feel bad, Chris. Every other critic apparently compared it to The Blair Witch.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard not to, right? Yeah. Because the director, you know, it's the same director, same kind of like genre of horror movie. Just with kind of, but like, anyway, what I appreciated about Blair Witch is they used different kinds of media. Like there was some like film camera. They had like an old school 90s VHS. I don't know if it was VHS, but like old school, like analog video camera.
I think so. Because like even in 2000, the digital cameras were not really that big a thing just yet, I think.
Right, exactly. And now this is all digital video. So it looks a little bit more like, you know, professional, even though it's less, you know, it's probably, it's probably not, but like it looks more professional, looks more like, you know, a typical movie that we're accustomed to see.
It's interesting. And I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go finish your thought. No.
Well, it's just to finish that thought is just that so it's less, the whole found footage aspect of it comes less from like the medium itself and more from just like the people talking to camera and things like that. Mm-hmm. And like the occasional bits of static or, you know, fake static or fake interference or something like that.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I think that I agree in the sense that it would have been interesting to see different digital formats,
mm-hmm.
but to a certain extent, if I wanted to get into the mindset of someone making a found footage film these days, what is there? There's just digital. So, I mean, all you have is right. What GoPros, a digital like handheld, like video camera. And, mm-hmm. and maybe like the only other thing I can think of is maybe your phone, but then yeah. The phone is an issue because, I guess if it was like a phone that like you'd have to introduce a reason for why you're recording on the phone if you don't have any signal out there, which of course is what happens, right?
Right. Well, yeah, of course. I see your point, Carlo, and I do agree, but I do think there is a way to make a lot of that stuff more interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the digital video more interesting, like, you know, it's even if it would to be just buying some more consumer grade stuff to make it seem more homemade rather than like it clearly looks like it was filmed on like, you know, maybe not exactly professional level, but like certainly like, you know, rich hobbyist level. Like,
yeah. What's the is it Apple Movie Maker or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think there's like it does employ some night vision too, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make use of it well. Like there's like, you see some shots of the woods and night vision, but you know, there's some really cool, I don't know. I just thought there was a lot more, you know, visual flair that they could have maybe gone for to make it more, you know, more interesting.
I think the only time that the night vision really is used in a way that you or I would use it is when he's going down into the tunnel.
Mm, yes.
And that's about it. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, mm-hmm. the problem that I have with that is the fact that, of course, it suffers from... Chris, have you ever seen like a TikTok or some sort of like obviously made video where the person is, the influencer, let's put it that way, is mm-hmm. streaming and they're pointing down, like they're trying to cook something or they're trying to open mm-hmm. or do something, right? Mm-hmm. They can only mm-hmm. ever do it with one hand.
You're right.
And that was the thing. Like, even in that tunnel scene, I was like, God damn it, dude. Fucking, why didn't you put on the fucking GoPro?
Yeah.
Turn on the fucking GoPro. I guess maybe the GoPro didn't have low light vision, you know, or
right.
whatever goggles functions. But at the same time, like, fuck it. It's a movie. You can fudge it a little bit. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that the issue circling back to the quote realism, like the fact that mm-hmm. there is this uniformity of how we consume video these days, which is all digital, mm-hmm. and falling into that trap that you need to be realistic, then leaves you with these weird, silly things that you shouldn't even really have entertained unless you're going for it for an effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's exactly right. And I think, it's to the point of like realism, and this kind of goes into, my one little aside when we were talking Brainstorm as well, which also has some POV type of shots. There's a couple times where it'll be a POV shot And then all of a sudden we'll see everybody in the frame. And it's like, what camera is taking this? Like,
well, so that they mentioned that that Brian's installed, apparently, like that first night he installed a bunch of like, I guess other cams around the perimeter of the cabin. Mm-hmm. But even then, like there's like cameras out in the woods. You're like, come on, man.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and so like, yeah, like that. And like, again, this is like, that's, I don't want to be like a CinemaSins kind of guy, because honestly, it doesn't, it's just, I'm kind of more just commenting on it rather than like complaining mm-hmm. about it. But because as I said, as I said in the brainstorm thing, you know, if it works for, you know, story reasons or emotional reasons, or just, it's just cool. I don't care if it's breaking any sort of like mm-hmm. logic, like, you know,
right.
But, it is something I definitely noticed in this, because it's trying very hard to frame it as, oh, this is all for mm-hmm. found footage type stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I will say that wasn't something that I necessarily, like, I think I noticed it. And like you said, this is just a note, on my part. It's just, I noticed mm-hmm. it and then immediately, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because like, honestly, like if you were to commit 100% to the bit, you'd get people complaining about like, well, I didn't see anything, or I got motion sickness, you know, just like the same complaints that we heard from people going into the Blair Witch Project, which, you know, granted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Granted, yeah. I get it. Like a lot of that handheld motion in that movie really is disorienting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Clearly.
And
yeah,
is
definitely.
Here as well, you know. There's a lot of, you know, like running around and I feel like there's less of it here than in Blair Witch. Like it's almost like he learned the wrong lesson. People complained about that one. I don't want to get yelled at, or somebody told him, look, we know that people have complained about the Blair Witch, about the motion sickness and can we cut down on the handheld, you know, camera stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And because, so like, to get a little bit back to the plot, they end up back at the cabin. The cabin's like really run down, although it has electricity for some, somehow, even though it's supposed to be out in the middle of nowhere.
They have a generator later.
That's right. Yes. Because at one point the Leakfoot does take out the generator. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all like real dusty. It's actually quite gross.
I mean, it does look like he's not, the dude's not been in there for several years at least.
Yes. Exactly. And they're kind of like just chilling out. And then, I mean, like not a ton happens. Like they do some stuff and Brian's investigating and
well, that's where we have the little aside where he, you know, he videotapes, Todd and Elizabeth as everything's getting hot and heavy, he catches like just this movement, like mm-hmm. in camera, you see a little movement. It's not very clear what it is, but it's obviously something big moving like on this ridge that overhangs where he's been filming. And he's like, holy shit, you know, and that's what sort of like sus. That's how they find out he's there. Right.
Right. Exactly. And at night they hear like, you know, really like unearthly cries. Like it's like. Kind of like wailing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a wailing, howling type of sound. Mm-hmm. Very, very human sounding too, you know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, vaguely human. And then they, at one point, they try and leave, but they discover that their car's been completely destroyed.
Oh, no, no. So he, that's, so what happens is that they see it come up the steps to the cabin. And it's trying the door, remember? Because it has like a little porch that encircles like the cabin's surrounded by this porch or mm-hmm. deck or whatever. They immediately can feel it and they're inside. Like the windows haven't been really blocked or anything yet. They just turn off all the lights and they're just waiting for it to go away. They don't know what it is at this point. They just know that something is there. I believe it's at this point, doesn't, what's his face? Todd find the, as they're moving things around, they find that, that trapdoor. Is that, I forget. I'm getting mixed up because
because they move stuff against the wall. Mm-hmm. Like they move things against the doors. Like you said, yeah. And they discover that there's kind of like a trap door. And Todd decides to investigate. And it's kind of just like a, you know, a root cellar type mm-hmm. thing. But he discovers a shotgun mm-hmm. with some shells. Yep.
Some ancient shells that are just like sort of desiccated. Yeah. I was like actually surprised that they fired.
He was also exhibiting some very poor like trigger discipline and like was like randomly pointing at it, and then he cracks it open and oops, it's actually loaded.
You're like, Jesus Christ, bro. But so it isn't until I believe he tries to shoot it through the window. Cause mm-hmm. like Brian like gets up to the window where he thinks he hears something standing, and he like hits the flash button, and you get like just a flash, obviously, of a face in the window, and it like tears off, and that I believe that's where Todd like tries to shoot out the window, and it's you know like yelps, and you hear it sort of like circling around and now making a lot of noise, and that's where it takes out the generator, and then later on they hear like in the distance something crashing, and when they wake up or when it gets light enough, they go out there, and the Jeep that they'd gotten there in has just been like completely like it's the Bigfoot went to town on it with a tree trunk.
Yes, yes. it's like that one level in Street Fighter 2.
Chris, you do not know how close you are in sync. That was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, the bonus round in Street Fighter, except it's a Sasquatch. but yeah, so I mean, I do want to say that here is where I'm actually sort of a little mad that it was in the trailer. Granted, I didn't see the entire trailer. I just saw enough. And it sort of made me mad because this is probably one of the best scenes in the entire flick where Matt, Brian's brother, decides to take their one bicycle.
Yes. Yeah. Going back to your comment of about being the extreme sports version, they have like a BMX bike.
Yes. Like a cross country, one of those tough ones, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, this whole scene is so good. I really, really like if all of the movie had been sort of like this, maybe, I mean, not the action. I mean, just the tension and the way it's sort of composed, and like, it's not him going full tilt. It's him like bicycling and then stopping and like checking to see if he's got bars on the phone. It's just great.
Yeah, no, I agree. That part is interesting because like something's actually because they're he's moving somewhere. Like there's like you said, tension, and there's like it's dynamic because he's like going through the woods and things like that. It's I do like that part.
And then go ahead.
Well, no, you go.
I was just gonna say that this is sort of like the turning point in the movie where we start to see a little bit more of the Bigfoot, which I think is used very well here, right?
Yeah, because you don't get a nice like big full on daylight view of him, but you get enough that you get a sense. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also playing on the cultural consciousness of what a Bigfoot looks like. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I did want to point out that even in the one or flash of one daylight shot that we get, even then it's sort of like it's weirdly distorted. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like the Bigfoot is like cut out of reality. You know, it's like a hole in reality almost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's so that reminded me, I don't know if you ever had a phase when you were a kid where, if you heard Bigfoot stories, you'd get scared and start imagining like horrible shit.
Well, I have spent many night in the woods, and there has been many of sounds that I've been like, what the hell was that? I've definitely scared myself more than enough times.
Yep. I feel you. But yeah, like that was almost like exactly the nightmarish type of visual I would point towards like my childhood fears, right? Like this creature that you can't even really see it really, even in daylight, it's sort of like hard to look at because it's sort of like, but you know, I wish they'd kept that sort of aesthetic with it because that was really sort of like, because even when like Matt sees it, he's like, oh shit. And you could see, like, obviously the found footage, you know, he's putting the camera back on his head because he's got it attached to his helmet, and, or he's picking up the bike, and, you know, that's where he really starts fucking going for it, you know, like, just really booking down there. And as he looks to the side, you can see the Bigfoot sort of like, as a blur, like in between the trees, just keeping pace. It is so fucking good, man.
Yeah, that was very, very effective. I did like that scene a lot.
You know, it sort of also, it made me almost wish that because it's not in the Pacific Northwest, they can't pull off like the new Planet of the Apes ones where they start swinging out of the trees and stuff. But
right, yeah.
That would have been like fucking freaky as hell. Could you imagine just like him brachiating from tree to tree?
Yeah, that would. Like, yeah, exactly. That would have been, but yeah, I think what we got, and then eventually, you know, the camera falls, like the classic Blair Witch move. Yeah.
Poor Matt. Sorry, Matt.
Poor Matt.
He became a welcome Matt.
Yes. Well, yeah, okay.
it's very bad when you're a welcome Matt for Sasquatch.
Right. Well, and then
such big feet.
Exactly. Well, and eventually, eventually the three back at the cabin, Bigfoot throws Matt's bike at the cabin. And so they you know, assume probably rightfully so that Matt is dead. And then they decide to like hike towards whatever the nearest highway is.
It's like 212, some interstate highway, one of those two lane highways or whatever. Right.
Yeah, exactly. As they do, they discover the den. Is this right? They find the
yeah. They find like the tunnel, point. Right?
This part was very cool. Like you said, like it's kind of like, you know, there was this tiny little, and it doesn't, because I guess nobody really, you obviously, like, I don't know if we've ever seen like a Bigfoot like den depicted, or, you know, in any sort of media. So it was interesting to think of, like, it, you know, it's kind of like crawls into this like little tunnel, and it's like there's like wood kind of sprayed around, like not sprayed, but like
it's created a tunnel underneath like a bunch of a stand of trees, but then has also pulled the trees down. So they're slanting to create like the entrance to the tunnel is just basically like tree trunks, sort of like almost not interlaced, but just sort of like cross hatching each other.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It almost looks like it's been woven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then once you get a little bit further in, it looks like it's like a big scrape of some sort. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're kind of like, we talked a little bit before, but like, there's some really good, nice tension of them kind of like slowly like crawling through this tunnel in, and then they discover the injured Matt, who is still alive, but is
has both his legs have been broken.
Yeah. So they get him, and then they find an abandoned RV, which they decide to hole up in, which bad move because it's right next to a cliff. the Bigfoot.
You know, if they had paid attention to the realtor, location, location, location.
That's right. Exactly. So the Bigfoot decides to pull a Lost World and push it over the cliff.
Yes. That was actually a pretty good shot as well, because it does feel like very visceral. It's like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like, you can imagine like you getting bounced around and just like fucking braining yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah. Cause you get some really interest, like, you know, they must have probably had maybe an RV on a gimbal or something, or I don't know how they got those shots, because that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. And when they finally like come to a rest, like the door's been blown to hell. There's like fucking dust coming in. They go and check on Matt, and Matt's like sadly didn't make it. I guess two broken legs and a huge tumble down a cliff inside an RV.
That's gonna do it.
Yeah, it's gonna do it for Matt. And so Todd's outside, and he gets fucking brained by the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I did like the his GoPro, his cracked ass GoPro.
Yeah.
Shot as well. And here's the, like, honestly, this is the part where I almost feel like, because Brian, like, ventures out, like, everyone else is dead. It's Brian by himself with his little camera. And, you know, he's trying to escape the Bigfoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, throws himself down a ravine and everything, like, hurts, like, I guess hurts himself. I mean, he's been hurt from the tumble in the RV. He's got a big gash in his side. Mm-hmm. And when the Bigfoot does actually catch him, he plays dead.
Right.
And yes, you get that scene where he gets dragged to this particular location. And mm-hmm. I feel like if it had stopped, if the movie had ended there, I would have mm-hmm. been fine with it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because the rest of it feels very, very tacked on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So he, we see Brian wake up. He's among his other dead friends. He sees a dead baby Bigfoot,
yep.
which is very clearly what they hit with the car. And then he sees the Bigfoot. He starts chasing him again. And meanwhile, Brian still has the rifle that they had found in the cabin. Rifle, I guess it was a shotgun rather, but he finally stops, is like, I'm done running.
He gets actually Uncle Bob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He comes, he's the cavalry man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just thought that was a little, I mean, I guess it was just for another kill, but, I don't know. I guess that was, I never once thought that Uncle Bob was going to save them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like it would have made more sense to me if Uncle Bob had found the footage.
Yes. Yeah, that would have been, yes, exactly. That would have
and
been
And that's the only reason that we see any of this.
Mm-hmm, right.
It felt so... Can't we all just get along? Because so when Brian is confronted by the grave of the baby Bigfoot, mm-hmm. which honestly looks sort of terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not a very good.
It looked like a child's costume for a Monchichi. You remember the Monchichis?
I do remember that. I was also thinking Chaka from the.
Oh, my God. Yes. Is that Land of the Lost?
Yeah. Yes.
It looks terrible. Looks shitty.
It does. It's so shitty because the big Bigfoot is actually quite good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Costume wise, and the baby one was very not great.
I mean, it's one of these things that I don't know that I needed to see the baby Bigfoot because it's already sort of implied because yes. they keep on saying, it sounds like somebody's like when they first hear the cries, remember mm-hmm. at the beginning, like yeah. that first evening, they're like, it sounds like somebody's like they're sad or they're grieving or something like that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I forget the exact words, but it conveys like the sense of like something, you know, like, oh, they're wounded perhaps, or perhaps they're sad because one of the companions got killed.
Right, right.
And so, like, honestly, the baby Bigfoot looks shittier than the fucking alien autopsy alien.
Yeah, it does. And like you said, there could have been a more artistic way of conveying that, or more, you know, a more visual way of conveying it, like, you know, something. But
so, and the can't we all just get along part of it is that the Bigfoot, when she gets a hold of Brian, doesn't try to brain him right away. She just like pushes him to look at what you did. And you're like, what the fuck is this? She like fucking murked four other people. She had no compunction about doing that. Why is Brian the guy?
Yeah.
And obviously that's, you know, Brian's the guy because he's got to survive to, you know, give us the found footage, mm-hmm. Which is stupid as shit.
And then Brian throws down the gun and is like, I'm done running. Kill me, kill me, kill me. And the Bigfoot kind of just turns around and goes away.
Yep. And then it starts raining.
Yes, exactly. And that's the end. I agree. I thought that whole bit was pretty dumb.
I honestly do wonder if Sanchez just wanted to leave it there. Like, maybe. when Brian gets dragged to the site, mm-hmm. and with the cracked ass camera and everything.
Yeah.
And they do actually do like a little pan around of like, okay, what are the states of the different cameras? And it's like one or two different shots. And if he'd left it at that, I would have been good.
Yeah.
Nice yeah. bleak ass ending. This is what mm-hmm. happens when you fuck around with Bigfoot.
Right. I could also see him saying, well, I want to subvert, because the traditional found footage editing is everybody freaking dies, right? So maybe he's like, I'll maybe try and subvert that by having Brian live and, you know, live to tell the tale. He comes to a sort of detente with the Bigfoot, which is silly when you think about it. Like, this is like, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Why was the ratio of four dead humans to one Bigfoot baby the number that Sasquatch settled on? Right. Can it not count to five?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that is a little silly. Like I said, this was, you know, interesting, definitely not anywhere near Blair Witch level of fun or spooky. But there was definitely some really fun and interesting, action scenes. The Bigfoot itself, the big guy, he kind of looks pretty cool. And I think we talked about like the way they dole his appearances out was actually pretty good.
I would say that there's only a couple of instances where I was like, not so sure about that one. One of them is the flash in the window. But I think it redeems itself by that very close shot right at the end when he's like face to face with yeah. the Sasquatch, and it actually looks really good, you know?
Yes. Right. Yep. Yep. Have you ever watched Friday Night Lights, the TV show?
No, I have not.
The one girl in this movie, mm-hmm. the actress's name is also Dora, mm-hmm. Dora Madison Burge. She was on Friday Night Lights. She was kind of like, and I don't know. Everybody has at least the director and her still have a career. Like it's, because I hadn't seen her since watching Friday Night Lights, which was, you know, what, like maybe almost 10 years ago now. She apparently is on like one of those like endless CBS procedurals that's like Chicago EMT or, you know, something like that.
Wasn't it like, I think I was like looking at it and it wasn't it like some sort of fire department show or something.
Yes. Chicago they have a fire. Million of those.
Chicago
they
fire. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They're all like connected.
Well, my first time noticing her, and I believe she is actually in one of the later seasons of Dexter.
Oh, is she?
She was shit. What was the Asian guy, the Asian forensic dude's name? Whatever his name is, the gross dude. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
He has like there's like a mini subplot, I think over like two episodes of that show that she's his daughter that like long lost daughter, and he thinks that she's popping out of the woodwork because, you know, she's trying to dig for money.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it's
Dexter's, see, I stopped not a good watching show. Dexter after a couple three or four seasons, so
I made it to season two, and then even at season two I was like, man, come on. Like you got like an entire FBI, like you got like fucking Agent Crawford from like the equivalent of Agent Crawford from Silence of the Lambs descending on your little Miami. You're going to tell me that Dexter's going to be getting away with murders under their noses? Come on, man.
So Carlo, do you believe in Bigfoot?
You know what, Chris, that's a tricky question because I feel like it's irrelevant because I feel like the important question is, does Bigfoot believe in you? what if they had like a, that'd be a great one. Instead of like a kid who has like an imaginary friend, but it is actually Bigfoot.
That's just Harry and the Hendersons, right?
I guess. I suppose so. I've never seen that one, so I should probably watch it.
It's been a long, long time, but I do remember John Lithgow. There's a very emotional scene where they're trying to get Harry to go back into the woods.
Yes,
I do
yes.
remember that part. It's I don't believe in Bigfoot, but it's fun to think about. I do like all the there are some very good. There's some fun Bigfoot movies. I do, there's a classic one that I've seen. There's Legend of the Boggy Creek, or was it? Yeah. Legend of Boggy Creek, mm-hmm. A lot of it's boring, like the Bigfoot stuff, but it has some really, really gorgeous, like Arkansas, like nature photography.
Okay.
That's really, really good. The sequel, Boggy Creek 2, The Legend Continues, made for one of my absolutely favorite MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes. That is one of the funniest episodes ever in my estimation.
Is that the one where it suddenly turns, my God, that there was like a huge, big, like a huge scene with Red Face in it. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Is that the one where the kid like is calling him from school, from his like his boarding school? He shows up.
I know which one you mean. That's one of the newer seasons.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about that one.
That there's that one as well. I think I know exactly what the Call of the Wild. No, that's Jack London. It's like Wild Call or it's something along those lines. But yes, that one is also a fun Bigfoot movie. That's why I do enjoy Bigfoot, because it is fun to like, he makes them for some good movies, and it's fun to think about like this just giant hairy man ape thing.
Well, so I don't know. I guess maybe it was like one of these. I don't know. I'm like looking at this. There was like this specific one that I remember seeing like a trailer of it, like on TV or something, and getting like really scared as a kid. And it must have been like a 70s era.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure which one it might have been. Maybe it was Sasquatch. Maybe it was Return to Boggy Creek or the Boggy Creek one or whatever.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
In any case, or maybe it's In Search of Bigfoot. who knows? Who knows?
Yes. Oh, also, I like the Bigfoot when he appears on the $6 million man.
I was just going to say that.
And Bigfoot when he appears on the Venture Brothers.
Yes.
And they shave him. He looks like the guy from Bar Rescue.
So you want to hear like my kid Carlo's big disappointment was finding out that Bigfoot in the $6 million man was also had like bionic arms. And I was like, why? He's already a Bigfoot. You know, it's like,
that's a hat on a hat right there.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. Maybe I missed a specific episode. Like this was like a sequel or a comeback episode of the Bigfoot on the $6 million man, where the first one was him beating him up. And then Bigfoot scientists had the technology. They could rebuild him. I'm making myself laugh. Imagining like a bunch of Bigfoots in lab coats, little tiny lab coats that look like bolero jackets.
Yeah. I went to Bigfoot University.
Yeah. Look, it's Dr. Bigfoot. I didn't go to 12 yes. years of Bigfoot Academy to be called Mr. All right. So anyway, so let me ask you this, Chris. I'll say up front, even though I have many criticisms of this movie, I actually had fun. Like, I think it's worth a watch.
Definitely. I definitely, if you like found footage, horror movies, this is, you know, you could definitely find a lot worse. That is strangely a still very prevalent, genre, and it's most people just do not do it well.
Yeah.
And, this one is at least somebody who knows what he's doing. There's some really good tension filled, sections. There's a Bigfoot. What more do you need?
Yeah. And to be fair, like as I was reading some of the criticisms of the movie at the time, I kept on wondering if so it almost feels like he's either stayed in the same place, you know, sort of like creatively, or gone back to it because like the entire market has been saturated with stuff that is like Paranormal Activity. And I also want, like, as I was reading those criticisms, I was just wondering, are they comparing him like to the current state of like, I was going to say surveillance cinema, but it's not exactly a lie. Because like, you know, like I've not seen any of the Paranormal Activities. I wouldn't know. I just don't find that format very appealing to me. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, it's just something I was putting in the back of my head. I was like, damn, you know, are they comparing it against, you know, like, it's bad to compare it against Blair Witch because fair, you know, there's some points there.
Yep.
Anyway, I think that is that. And just remember, Chris, that when you look back across the empty beach and you see one set of gigantic footprints behind you, that's where Sasquatch was holding you.
In his loving arms.
Yes. Just, you know, making sure that you found the way. All right. Well, with that, everyone out there, Chris, of course, thank you for indulging me in watching a Bigfoot movie. To everyone out there, thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next time here on Podside.